All by myself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Don't
All right. Iron, you are.
wanna be. Actually, what is the appropriate song is Why Does It Feel Like Somebody's Watching
Watching me.
Me?
Dun,
No
dun, dun, dun,
privacy.
dun,
Well,
dun. I think it would have taken away from the dramatic parts a
they
little
could have
bit.
done what they usually do, which is just like slow it down and get like an orchestra to play with like some like
Oh yeah, like just or
wispy
reinvite.
cat sounding woman, just like like they do with every other horror
The
movie. Yeah.
reimagined.
Anywho, welcome back, folks. This is Slashers, your favorite horror podcast about your favorite horror media. It is me, your host, Mikey, joined today with my lovely co-hosts, Adequate Aid and Lance. I stopped fixing my phone. It always puts your name. I type in aid and it says adequate. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm sending it. Because I can't keep doing it. So I'm glad
Yeah,
that you
you.
just went with it last time.
Oh, well, yeah, that's fine. But I'm pretty sure you can save it into your phone settings to where like it'll recognize it and then you're fine. So, and I only changed it because first reason, well, not people have been calling me Abe since high school because my friends were too lazy to, text it. Because remember back in the day, you had to hit the button three times, just to find the letter. I know Lance remembers.
Yeah.
And
Literally, like,
so, let's talk about old text.
no, Lance only
The
remembers the carrier pigeons, rotary dial.
rotary phones.
Send a raven.
I love pigeons. Pigeons are amazing. Love them so much. Pigeons. But yeah, so I changed because everybody's too lazy to say my name because three syllables is too much. And then Jake made my handle because he thought it was funny and he thought I changed it. And it's pathologically Adrian. And I'm like, that's too much. We're just gonna say
I mean, it's a
Aid.
valid name, and I would
Yeah.
think after correcting my phone many times that it would be like, oh, okay, he knows this bitch named Aid. But no, it's always like adequate. Adequate. I'm like, hey,
I'm just
adequate. So I
adequate.
just adequately Aid.
I'll take aid. I should just change it to that. So pathologically, that actually makes better sense.
Pathologically adequate. But anywho, welcome back, folks, to entry level number two, level two. Yeah, the second level of our Pink Hearts and Blood Red Feb session, a month where we talk about all the lovey-dovey, scary as fuck stuff. So this is also a month that I'm really gonna enjoy because this is like I love these types of movies. Like, I've been very excited to talk about this movie ever since I saw it in the theater. Last year, saw it first day. Actually, I had one with my friend. So I went with my friend and I was like, hey, I want to watch this movie. He's like, oh, right, I really want to go see Crimes of the Future. And I was like, ew, gag me with a dick. And so he was like, oh, well, let's do like a double feature. Or it was my idea. I don't remember. And I was like, fine. It's like, first of all, one of them's Cronenberg. Second of all, I know the other one's going to be slow burn. So I don't know how this is going to work out. We're doing a double feature with a Cronenberg movie and a slow burn movie. So we saw this movie first and we both walked out. And we were like, fuck yes. And then we went into Crimes of Future Past, and I tried to keep an open mind. I don't like David Cronenberg. Sorry, get over it, everybody. But he didn't even like it, and he's a big Cronenberg fan. So I don't know if y'all seen that one yet, but it
I
was,
liked it.
of course, you did.
I like Cronenberg though. I pretty much like it. I feel like everything he's done, I'm very into. So I love body horror though.
Yeah, like, what was that Russian movie? The
Which one?
one where he fights the guy naked at the end. Eastern Promises. That's the only one that I was sort of like, oh, it was a cool movie. But that's because I like mafia type movies, and that's kind of a mafia type movie. But Existence was cool. But I watched it before I even knew who Cronenberg was. I was just like a kid, like, oh, this is cool stuff.
Yeah, that one's a little dated, yeah, but whatever.
Yeah. What have y'all been up to? Anything new? I mean, it's been like a week since I've talked to y'all, and it's going to be like 2 weeks till I actually see y'all in the flesh. But what have y'all been doing?
Well, I have not been doing a goddamn thing, so yay.
Yay.
I mean,
I got a new used car, which is kind of fun.
It's still new to you. So
yeah, new to me. I mean, it's a Prius. A lot of my guy friends are like, oh, that's such a lame car. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm going to be saving gas money, buddy. So you know what? Go fuck yourself. Save the planet.
Call it a pussy wagon.
Yeah. It's a hatchback too. So it's definitely like, go. I'm like, whoop, whoop, how you doing, ladies?
Mm-hmm.
As you hear my silent car go by.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. You're going to be rolling down the windows downtown. Can't wait.
Yeah, and you can put like fun little ska stickers on it and stuff. Like,
right now, I've been trying to get rid of the stickers that are on there. I'm like, nope, nope.
Oh, are there stickers on there already?
There was. They're like, I mean, and then he had one where he's like, Rick Scott is an asshole, which I don't disagree with. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't need that on my car. I don't need no cop.
Is that like a politician?
Yeah. Well, he's our... I guess he's our
senator
now, but he was our governor before, our other sweet, awesome governor. And they're both douchebags. So
yeah, I mean, well, this is not a political show.
Very true.
You might be confused based off of the last couple, but
well, you know, it's election year. Can't help it.
That's true. And you know, last episode we were like, oh, it's a leap year, and by the way, it's the same people up for election, the same Super Bowl stuff. Does that mean every election's on leap year?
Oh, I guess it would be. Actually, no, because
leap year is every 4 years. And if we have an election this year,
like sometimes it gets fucked up and it's like every 5 years or something.
I don't even know who makes up these rules.
Yeah,
does it affect the Olympics as well, too, or anything like that?
Man, so no one pays attention to the other.
Yeah, every 4 years. Yeah,
I mean, A does because she had to watch them run past her fucking apartment.
I know. Oh, I did do something. Yeah. All downtown was closed down Saturday, and the Olympic trials took place in the City Beautiful, right in my downtown. And they ran right past my building several times. And I was on my balcony and everybody was cheering. And then me and Stella went to the finish line after everybody cleared the fuck out because they wanted $125 to sit on Roslyn, Lance, in front of Lake Yola. $125. They built these, like,
we were charging
these bleachers for people to sit at the finish line. I go, I fucking let my dog shit here every day, and now you're gonna charge me $125.
Well played, Orlando.
Well played. I don't think anybody paid for them. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know if people sat there. Nobody was there when I got there. I'm sure people sat there.
On accident without paying. Like, yeah. I have no idea why anybody, sorry if you did that this weekend, but like, I don't know anybody running in the Olympics. I mean, it's not like it's like a all-star sports team, and even if it was, I still wouldn't do it, but I don't know. That's crazy. Y'all need to get your priorities straight
here too. Or not the Super Bowl, but the Pro Bowl was here.
Yeah, I think it's just like a piece of history, and plus, you know, the city hosted it, and they fixed a lot of the streets downtown because of it, because a lot of our cobblestone, like our brick roads, were all fucked up, and they fixed because of the Olympics. So
it's the only way it got fixed. It was like, oh shit, we gotta make it look decent for fucking the cameras.
Today we are discussing 2022's Watcher, not The Watcher, because you'll get the Netflix show, which I didn't finish, but this is Watcher 2022 by Chloe Okuno, starring Maika Monroe, and even though everyone pissed me the fuck off, I'll go ahead and name them too: Carl Glusman and Bern Gorman. What a name. I tried looking up other films that Chloe Okuno did, and really the only thing she did a short called Slut, but then she also did an entry in VHS 94. Which one? I don't know, because I haven't seen them. But do you know which... y'all have seen it. Do you know which one she did?
I don't actually know which one she did in that.
I actually haven't seen 99 yet.
No, 94 is the one that she made.
94. Oh, I saw 94, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Which one's the more recent one? 94, 98, or 80 something?
85 is the last one. 85, jeez. I enjoyed a lot.
At least
85 was good.
But she's accredited that Watcher is her first directorial debut of a feature film. So there's that.
Hopefully not her last.
No, yeah, she did fantastic. But anyways, continue.
Yeah. Before we get into it, I have to ask y'all. Have y'all ever had to deal with a stalker?
Oh, not really. I mean, not that I know of. They must be really good at their job. So.
I'm sure. Yeah, he's got a little hair that follows him around.
It is a job to be a stalker, you know, like I'm
pretty sure I was positive you were going to say no, and it was basically going to be the AIDS show at this next 5 minutes.
No, is that okay? I am a woman after all, and yes, I've had a stalker before. Like, it's not fun. Like, ew.
Did you know them?
No, he was my neighbor. Ew. And he would drive his Jeep. He knew what time I would go running, and he'd slowly drive his Jeep behind me, and I could hear him. And he would have the window down with his mouth open and his tongue out.
Was it Lance?
And so one time I got so pissed off at it. Well, I was dating this hot-headed guy. Oh, his name was John Kennedy. I'm sure he'll never hear the show, but that was a fun thing. Anyways, he was very, very hot-headed. He was very hot, but he was kind of a douchebag. And
I like my kind of guy.
He like threatened him, and then I never, like, the guy stopped doing it. Like, he went outside and started screaming, because like, you could literally, like, I could just go walk and get the mail. And
wait, so you think this guy was like whacking it off to you as you were driving?
I think that's what he was doing while I was running. Yeah. I think he was doing that. Yeah, I really
just
do.
Watching you.
Mm-hmm. With it, yeah, he would be sweating, and like, I would turn around, tell him to go fuck himself, and then he would like just, you know, whatever. But he lived like two buildings. I was in an apartment complex, and I knew his car, and he had no. I just, you know, just like in the film, he had no shame that I knew he was watching. I think that was the creepiest part about the whole ordeal, in my personal opinion. But
yeah, it's, I think what makes this film and movies like this extra scary is it's very realistic, especially for women. And, you know, I have two sisters, a mom, an aunt, a grandma, and I know everybody usually has those, but like, we all lived with each other when I was young, so I was close to all of them. So I had an uncle and like a male cousin the same age as me, but growing up, like, the people that like I looked up to were all women. So I kind of saw, like, you know, the struggles that women go through, and then having a child that is a girl, knowing what she's going to have to go through when she grows up. That's another thing that's really frightening. And I think it just adds another level of fear when it comes to these movies, because you're like, oh. But before we get into it, let me just provide a quick little synopsis, which isn't actually going to take that long, because literally it's pretty plain Jane. Woman moves to, but in a good way, pretty plain Jane moves to, pretty, that's not her name. I forgot what her name is, but a woman moves with her boyfriend to Romania. She's an actress from America. They don't really explore that much, but she's an actress from America. And she moves into a apartment unit with her boyfriend and notices that someone has been watching her. She doesn't know if this is like coincidental. It's like New York setup, where there's like apartments in front of you, and so you can see each other's windows. Mm-hmm. And she sees this guy peering at her, whatever. And then she sees him again the next day, and she just keeps seeing him over and over again. So she is under the impression that this guy's following her, and she just learned that there is a serial killer out there killing women named a spider. The end. So super simple premise, but I actually think I like it, because everything that works well for this movie, it doesn't involve the story.
The aesthetic, I agree. And I even said at the beginning, the movie, at the very start of the film, I was like, oh, this is very Polanski. And then upon doing my research, I noticed that, yeah, she was inspired by Roman Polanski. And I know we're not allowed to talk about him anymore, but I will say that his films are fantastic. They're some of my favorite movies, because I think that with a movie like this, when you place a woman in an isolated nature who is internally struggling with something that she knows people are going to treat her poorly for, I think that that's what makes it even worse, because you are just, you're following, you're kind of walking in the same footsteps with her throughout this film. And I think they just, Chloe does, Miss Okonu does a fantastic job at sort of getting us in her shoes and letting us feel the isolation, letting us feel alone and scared and unsure of ourselves and unsure of our thoughts and our feelings. And, you know, we almost can't trust her either as the main character, because we don't know, like, we know she believes what she believes, but is this real?
It's available on Shudder, because I feel like we're going to have to spoil it, because story-wise, there's not a lot, but things that work for it, probably going to spoil some stuff. So if you want to watch it, highly recommend it. It's on Shudder. Did you want to say something?
No, it was just like, it was kind of funny, because it's like, basically you're like going, all right, spoilers alert, it's gonna all happen right now, because legitimately this movie is like, it was a little hard for me because it was just such a slow burn, and I was kind of like, oh god, this girl's kind of annoying the fuck out of me.
Oh wow.
Because it's like, Like, it was just like, she just kind of like.
Lance is a gaslighter, ladies and gentlemen.
Damn, God.
Like, she was just, I don't want to meet you in 2 weeks.
No, it was just one of those things where I was kind of like, I got it, and it was really cool, and the sceneries were beautiful, and like, the window alone for like where it was going across the building was just masterfully done, like, great job. It was just one of those things where certain things, like, I guess in life, I would have been like going like, why didn't she just do this, or why didn't she just do that? Like, I get it, because she's, you know, trying to figure it out herself and like all those other things, but it was like, you already called the cops at one point, you know what I mean? They're talking to this guy, you know, like, she does a lot of things that seem right, but then there's other times you're like, what are you doing? Like, you know, I mean, following him, you know what I mean? It's like, if he is a killer, why would you do that? Like, it's like,
well, let me address some of these concerns for you, because I have some ideas. The original screenplay, it took place in New York. And I'm really glad that they didn't keep that, because I think what also makes this movie very like, oh fuck, like, you can't do anything, it's because she's in a complete foreign country and no one speaks English. And another thing that they did that I thought was really smart, and I thought it was weird in the beginning, but then I was like, no, it's really smart because it puts you more in her shoes. They don't subtitle the Romanian stuff. You just don't know what they're saying. I thought that was kind of badass. At first I was like, is it where my subtitles off? But I was like, no, actually, like, this is like really a smart choice, because if you really want people to be like, I have no idea what the fuck's going on, we're also lost with her. As far as aesthetically, I'm usually not big on artsy fartsy movies like The Lighthouse, but this I feel is not pretentious. It does what a lot of movies don't really do anymore, and it pays attention to set design and color palettes. Like, every scene that she's in, other than like when she's supposed to be like lounging at night, she looks like she's in a magazine, like a fashion magazine. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, her outfits, very pristine looking.
Yeah, and by the way, did anybody also recognize that she kind of looks like a young Gwen Stefani when she's all dolled up? But that's just me.
Just like the back hair.
Yeah, and like the big eyes. I was like, she looks like Gwen Stefani.
Like, why was she in that red dress at one point? Like, I was like, I'm like, if you really think this person's like trying to hunt you down, you're literally in lipstick, hair slicked back, drinking wine, and just going like this.
She was about to go on a date with her husband or boyfriend, Lance.
I'm sorry. Oh, what's Lance. You know? Lance has been single for too long.
Oh my goodness, so. Lance. And also, to address your point that you feel that she was annoying, you have the honor of having girlfriends like me and Aid that would not, this situation wouldn't last long because we're boss ass bitches. But I feel like her.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you two would like literally fucking beat the shit out of this person by now. You would have gone downstairs, walked across the street. Like, right. you don't find somebody.
We're going to fuck or fight, because it's going to be one of them.
I can see you both just like literally do it. I guess that's what drove me nuts. It's like, fuck this, go over there. Like, her friend next door, I was like, grab her fucking gun, go over there, and you go, yo, dude, we got an issue.
I feel like her character is the average girl, at least in America. Like, I don't think many women would do what Adrian would do. I'm cheating, I'm a boy in real life. But like, you know. We know a lot of people like in our friend groups that would be like, my friend's gonna fuck you up. But like, if you actually think about like the everyday woman, like, I don't think yeah. women are raised with a sense of handle it yourself, like, go get them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where she's coming from.
Well, don't get me wrong. The husband or boyfriend, whatever, he was pissing me off too. I was like, yo, dude, like, your girl's obviously upset about this. Fucking handle your business, man. Like, fucking either help her out or, like, you know what I mean? Like, he was the worst, be honest with you. Like, I was like, dude. Yeah.
Well, and this is the issue with him. So this is where I found it very Polanski-esque, is that, you know, we're always dealing with men who sort of don't either believe them in their films or sort of treat them like they're crazy or, you know, are the antagonist in Rosemary's Baby's case. So with the husband, I found that refreshing at the beginning that he did believe her.
Yeah.
Like, let's call the cops. Okay, let's go down to the grocery store and look at the cameras. Like, he was very concerned because, again, they are in a foreign country. So for his reaction to be concerned, especially considering like she's home alone all day, she's traversing the country, or not the country, but the city by herself. But surprisingly enough, a lot of people did speak English. So let's be fair. She and her ass wasn't working. That was the only thing that annoyed me about her. I was like, bitch, you got too much going on. Get a job. Like you're too worried at the house all day alone. And which I know it probably wasn't easy for her to even try to work there, but she could have done something remotely, you know, or found a hobby, or you know, what she
be a stripper like her neighbor.
Be a stripper, have a good time during the day, or at the very least, take classes to learn English or to learn Romanian, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised she didn't do that going over there.
I would have like, done you knew that you were moving there. First thing, like if I have to be able to talk. I have to be able to speak my mind.
We know.
If I can't speak your language, how am I supposed to speak my mind? So, but I
don't know
like
how to curse you out in every language.
Yeah, well, and that was the only thing I disliked about her character. But I mean, for the most part, like I understood where she was coming from because she's so isolated. And her husband did, at the beginning, he did believe her. And then I understand where it falls off and why he stops, because I almost felt like I stopped believing her too. Like, mm-hmm. Is she fucking losing it? Like, are we following an unreliable main character, which is what I was thinking was happening. And you don't know until the very fucking last 5 minutes of the film what the deal is. You don't know. And that's the scary, I think that's the most horrifying part of the whole movie, because you really are like, okay, everything's fine. And then it's not.
Do that face she gives her husband slash boyfriend at the end, like that I fucking told you. That was like the favorite part of the whole movie.
That's her husband.
Okay.
So like I said, it's very simple in regards to story. I wanted to point out the parts that I found really unsettling, because basically this girl feels like she's being followed and you don't actually see who it is. It's just a silhouette, and you can kind of, so the actor who plays the Watcher is Bern Gorman, and he was actually in Crimson Peak, as Aid pointed out before.
Yeah.
So connection. He has kind of a interesting silhouette. So like you can kind of tell it's him, and they put him like in a beige jacket. So you can kind of like, it kind of looks like him. But the first time that I was actually like, oh shit, is when she goes to the movie theater. So she's by herself. She wants to get out of the house. She's been seeing this guy in the window. And I don't remember if this was before or after she waves at him. Do you remember?
This was before, I think.
Wait, what part?
Where she goes to the movie theater. But I think
she
goes
twice. Oh no, this is after, I think. Oh, here.
She goes twice. Because she goes once by herself and there's nothing going on. And then the second time she goes, I think he's actually like behind her.
Yeah, because I think if I understood correctly, when she waves at him, because they've been staring at each other for like a couple of nights now, and so she decides, because she's like, I don't know if he's looking at me or if he's just looking in this direction. And so she waves, and a couple seconds go by, and then he waves. And that, you find out later, is what starts, like, it gets worse from there. So
his obsession with her kind of starts, I guess, technically by that moment, which is kind of, again, she kind of keeps pushing the envelope of this situation a little bit.
Because she waved. You're blaming her because she waved.
No, not like that. But I mean, like, it's just like, I felt like, you know, it's like you could have had things end at any point. You know what I mean? It's amazing how something as small as that, you know what I mean? Like a kind of an insignificant thing, like just putting your hand like that. And then all of a sudden he was like, I didn't have any interest in you. But now that you seem like you had interest in me, now I'm definitely interested in you.
Well, he said that he actually felt seen for the first time. So that's when his obsession grew.
Yeah.
So.
And that was the thing. Like, that was a very unsettling moment, Mikey. I agree, because the way that it's shot, she does the wave and then she's like, she finally feels calm because she thinks, oh, I'm just in my head. He's not really looking at me. And then the hand goes up. And then I was like, oh my God. I was like,
So it gave me a lot of goosebumps.
It did. And you know, when he explains at the end that, you know, I thought you were saying hello to me, I sort of felt, and not like I felt empathy for this character, because I'm like, oh, he's takes care of his father all day. He's alone. Like, you know, and my thing is, if you think he's watching you, the first thing I would have done was get curtains, because I have floor to ceiling windows as well. But honestly, I still I still walk around naked. It doesn't matter. I am not rushed. You should see how tiny my place is. But, you know, anybody right across with, you know, binoculars or a micro, whatever, could be watching me any day. I don't know, but you know what? I could put the blinds down. I have an option. Like when they first move in, there are no, by the way, that apartment was great.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Love their apartment. But yeah, I would have, that would have been my first thing. Like, let's get curtains because that building is way too close. And let's face it, there's perverts everywhere. Like, there's probably more than one pervert in that building, to be completely honest with you. So there's that.
And what was the first thing they did when they moved in? They had sex right in front of the window.
They had sex in front of the window with no curtains. So what did they, you know? And so I'm sure he's seen that, right? So.
I mean, who knows what he saw with a neighbor?
We don't. Yeah, and he was probably watching the neighbor too, but. Was the wave the catalyst for him stalking her? I don't know.
I'm just going off of his little monologue at the end.
Yeah, I think what it is like you said, if you're kind of in that mindset, and obviously he's the one that was killing everybody else anyways, you know what I mean? It doesn't take much for him to, you know, also he works, and I'm assuming he's the jizz cleaner upper janitor for the strip club or whatever. Cause
yeah, he's the janitor.
That's kind of. Yeah, so he's probably cleaning up jizz, you know, from the. And I was like, oh wow, so you're around a whole bunch of women who dance, you know what I mean? So, what is his perspective of women in general, you know?
Yeah, an object.
Yeah,
for men. But speaking of the stripper, this, even though we've sworn off Children of the Corn, this is the example I was giving when whatever number it was, where she had a friend that was a prostitute. Mm-hmm. This is the same situation where, I mean, she's not a prostitute, she's a stripper, but she makes a friend. And honestly, like, that relationship is like the only like thing that like gives my mind peace of mind when Olivia grows up. It's like, wherever you are, just meet another girlfriend like that. Like, hopefully it's your neighbor. Cause, you know, I think she hears her fighting with her boyfriend and she kicks her boyfriend out, who's fucking hot, by the way.
I loved it. Yeah,
he was actually rad. Like, I mean, after all that, you're like, she's like, yeah, sure, I'll go over there with you. Yeah, sure, I'll bang the shit out of the door and fucking scare the crap out of somebody. Like, he was like, I was like, and you don't like this guy?
Yeah, I think I had like the preconceived notion that he was abusive because they were fighting, but I was thinking about it, and I was like, no, he didn't really actually like do anything. They were just fighting. And he actually could have been a good person.
And she says he's very sweet. She does say sweet, but he's probably just up her ass all the time. So yeah, keep him around when you need him.
Yeah, probably doesn't trust her.
I mean, he gave her a gun. And so, speaking of Polanski, when researching the film, it does say that the director got inspiration from, is it called the Apartment Trilogy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so that's Repulsion. Is it Rosemary's Baby? And then I don't know what the other one is.
The last one's Tenet. And
I have that book.
Those films, especially for women, and I don't want to say that men won't enjoy these movies because I feel like they have in the past, and I'm sure they still do. But for women, there is always that sense of dread in these films that you are looked at as crazy. You can feel a certain way, but if you express yourself, no one believes you because you are crazy. Or, you know, on the other hand, it is your fault for inviting this, right? And so there's no sense of when everyone around you is against you.
Yeah.
What do you do? And she's basically confined to this apartment. And so she leaves the apartment, but whenever she leaves the apartment, she has these experiences, like we said, in the movie theater, and he's like directly behind her. So that would have pissed me off, but I would have turned around and said, what the fuck? Like, and I would have just said it in English because, you know, who knows if he knows English, right? But I did feel at the store she was a little nutty. She jumped the gun, yeah. I don't know.
It also, she also doesn't really take it too seriously until the husband's work friends come over and talk about the spider. Because this is when she first finds out that there is someone out there killing women. And it was like 2 blocks away from her house. And like, no one's putting the pieces together except her. You can see in her head, because she's just an amazing actress, but you can see in her head, she's like, I'm a woman. I spend most of my time alone in this apartment. Like, no one seems to see the issue here. So, you know, I just, I think I like, I, and you said this men could like this movie. I think filmmakers would really like this movie just to see, you know, the use of color, the use of everything for such a simple premise. I don't know if women would actually, I feel like there might be, because it happens to so many women, I could see women not wanting to see this movie because it might bring up some like issues, or you know how you don't like to watch fear? I feel like this could be an issue for women also, where they're like, I don't want to see that because I live that.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I do like, there's a lot of great moments in it. I really feel like you said earlier, her relationship with Arena, the neighbor, is probably one of my favorite moments, because first of all, she's very endearing. Whether she's a stripper or not, who cares? But she's, you know, she's wild and sexy. She's like the fun neighbor. Like, you know, I hang out with my neighbor all the time down the hallway. Gabby, she's on like the very opposite end of the hall, and we're constantly.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not saying Gabby's slutty or anything. I mean, by all means.
My slut neighbor, probably, Gabby.
I would say that I was like, the slut. But I would say I'm the sluttier one. But like, you know, as far as like, you know, whatever goes, like, I think it's like, you need, Arena makes a comment to her. She's like, you know, thank you for looking out for me, and I will try to look out for you too. And I think it's so important. Like, that's what, you know, you, when you live anywhere, women, we need to stick together and actually like be on each other's side and not look at each other as an enemy, because we're not. Like, we need to, you know, have that sort of relationship.
Well, she was the only one that actually spoke decent English too. So it was kind of a nice comfort in that way too, because it's like, she had a female friend and a person who actually could speak English too, you know, and then hang out with, because obviously, you know, her job is kind of more of a night job than a day job, I would assume.
Yeah. You've never had a lunch special at the titty bar?
No, God, no. God, what?
And actually, surprisingly, Irina is the character that you would think would be the one to kind of approach a stalker head on and kind of like beat his ass. But unfortunately, RIP Irina, she didn't make it. I wish she did, but you know,
I mean, you technically get to see her all at one time again, or not all together, but separate times.
Wow, Lance.
Okay, yeah, Lance. Oh my
God, what is wrong with you today?
Lance is playing the role of white cis male tonight.
I know. Lance obviously wants to make America great again.
No, but that scene with the bag
in the train
was like probably one of the best. Like, it finally gets good, like not finally gets good in that sense of that, but like action wise like, you know, everything else has kind of been a slow burn, but that's one of those scenes where like he explains to himself, she's just staring at the bag, and you know, he's like, yeah, you know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. That's like a kind of like one of those moments you're like, oh, this guy does not give two fucks right now about what's going on.
You know who didn't get it? Adam. Because he kept looking like, what's in the bag? And I was like, Adam, it's her head.
Well, you can see the outline of the head. And I remember
Adam didn't.
No. Well, he's like, is it vegetables?
Why have you seen looking at Evan?
That's what I was, in my head, I was thinking, how cool is that? Like a seven moment, but then later on, like, he took her back over there, or the body never left, which is crazy.
Yeah,
from the apartment.
That was another thing I was thinking too, because we know that he was in the closet when they all go over there. Because she hears Irina, and that was another thing I was annoyed by, because I'm like, you've already hung out with her a few times, and you guys don't have each other's phone numbers. Like, first of all, if I heard that banging, I would have called her right away, and had she called her, would have heard the cell phone. The neighbors would have heard the cell phone, right? So I think it would have been a little bit more. I'm not saying it's her fault that happened, but. And so at the beginning of the film, and I don't know if we said this, the spider cut his victim's throat so deep, we find out that it actually decapitated his victim.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, Lance, I don't know if you remember that poor girl down the street from me who went home. That's kind of what happened to her. She wasn't completely decapitated, but like she was actually downstairs for me in the bar, directly downstairs in my building at the basement. Took a cab home. This was like 5 or 6 years ago. And she lived in like Steel House or one of those apartments over on 50 in Orange. She got out of the Uber. She took the Uber with some random girls, and the Uber dropped her off first. And all the cameras followed her back up to her apartment. She was actually like a news anchor for like an independent kind of thing. Like, she was always on TV and stuff. And she went up to her apartment. The security guard lets her in, the security for the building. And then he follows her to the apartment and fucking strangles her to death and like kills her.
Oh, you mean the janitor dude? I thought it was
the janitor or whatever. He was the security guard at the building. He wasn't
was
security.
Okay. I thought he was.
And they said that he choked her so tight, like broke things in her throat. They said it was like probably the most painful death. That's why I say this, because he just did it with his hands. And like,
And then what did he do? He just like put her under the bed or some shit like that?
Yeah, he stuffed her under her fucking mattress.
Do they know why he did that?
He was just, I don't know.
Didn't he kill himself? They ended up later on when
no.
It was getting close to.
They put him in prison. I think he's in prison now. And he had a wife and child. His wife just had a baby or something. It's fucking disgusting. Jesus. And he told the news, he was like, I would never touch that girl. She's not as hot as my wife. Like, that's what he said. That's what he fucking says. I got to send you the news story. Psychopath.
The way Lance has been going this evening, I'm sure he'd probably say something similar tomorrow.
But my point is how long had he been watching her?
Yeah.
And the fact is, like, you can't get in those apartments without a code. So he either had to watch her put the code in, or he knew the code from his job and just went in after her. Like, it wasn't a forced entry. That was the thing. So.
Well, thanks for that uplifting story.
I know. Welcome to Florida.
So, basically the only other point to touch on for this movie is the end. And actually, no. I remember sitting my happy little gay ass in the theater, and I love audience participation when it's warranted. And it was the first night it was out, so it wasn't like a sold-out theater, maybe about, you know, half to three-fourths full of people. And the part where they're speaking Russian at the party, and they all laugh and say something, he introduces her to his big boss, and she catches what he says, and she's like, what did you say? He's like, oh, nothing, it's just an office joke. Like, did you say that at least she has the spider to keep her company? The audible gasp in the theater.
That's what I was like, that motherfucker. Like, the look in her face.
The sold out look. She's like, you fucking sold me out to your fucking office. Yeah. I was like, damn.
That dude, look is fucked up. I hope I get killed so you feel bad.
I know. Good for her. Honestly, I love that. I loved her dramatic exit too. However,
glasses.
Yeah, I know. But I'm like, not all the champagne. I would have grabbed a couple and then walked out. Like, fuck it.
That poor guy. All I kept thinking to myself was like, that poor server. He didn't do anything to you.
Well, I was wondering. I was like, was that supposed to happen, or is that a?
It kind of didn't look like it, right?
That we just had to keep. Yeah.
That was great, because honestly that would have happened, because she just was so fucking pissed. She slams him down like he's not paying attention. Of course, everything's good. I mean, and it was like, especially right leading up to that, when she's sitting on the ledge and drinking the champagne, because at this point there's nothing she can do anymore.
Yeah.
Except, you know, drink, because nobody fucking believes her. She's all alone. And
AIDS answer for everything.
Yeah.
What else is there to do?
Fuck the world. Give me a glass now.
I mean, she quit smoking. She can't even smoke her goddamn cigarette. Like, this poor girl. I mean, it's just awful. And then she just, even her, at that point, we also know that her husband is no longer on her side. Her husband just thinks she's a nutbag.
Yeah,
it's his fault for bringing her there.
One thing the spider does is, he actually gets one step ahead of her, and he gets the police to take him to her apartment and tells them that she's following him. And
I thought that was a classic. That's a classic like movie. You're like, well played, dude.
I mean, masterclass in gaslighting.
Well, but see, at this point, we still don't know if he is a psychopath. Like, we still don't know. And all of these things are plausible. Like, he's home, he takes care of his family. She brings this big burly dude come bang on the door.
The boyfriend.
Like, yes.
I know. I was like, I wish he would have come back afterwards.
I know.
Picked her up.
Like Harry. And that's the thing. He believed her enough to like go across the street. And like, he knows that like the guy was bothering her enough. And he doesn't even know this chick. But she says one thing to him. And it was so romantic that he went over and did that. I'm like, oh, I love it.
I like the fact that when she goes, could you try again? He just looked at her like, sure.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know
he
what?
Just,
this
he
time
wants
I'm gonna
an
do it like
excuse.
I just beg the shit out of it. He's like, oh my
I
God.
mean, also, if you know, he just meets this girl and she claims to be a neighbor slash friend of his, I guess they're exes, but maybe it seems like he's trying to get her back. So this is also kind of like, oh, well, if she's my ex-girlfriend's friend and I want to get my girlfriend back, like I should probably be in her good graces.
I mean, true. That or he's like got other alternative plans. He's like, so your husband's not around, huh?
So I warned everybody, if you didn't watch the movie and you wanted to, there's no turning back.
No.
Homegirl gets her throat slit. Who thought she died? I didn't.
You know what? Honestly, like, legit, I was like, kind of my head's like, that's a lot of blood, and I don't give a fuck who you are. Her standing up, that's the only part of it that didn't seem realistic to me, because I was like, the amount of blood would probably would have squirted out, and just in case he cut a certain one, but if he cut that deep regardless, yeah, like, realistically, there's no way she's getting up like that, to stand like that. It would have been better if she was on her ground, maybe, and shot
him. I'm conflicted because he only sliced the side of her neck. So when I first thought, I was like, oh, it's just the side, because your what is it, carotid? I don't know how to pronounce
carotid.
It.
Carotid.
Yeah, it's in, yeah, it's right here in the front, or like right next to your, whatever this is, Adam's
apple. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he did that, and I was like, there's hope. But then when she's like crawling away and he's talking to her and laying next to her, and then she kind of like passes out and you see like the pool of blood growing around her, I was like,
yeah,
she's dead. I loved it.
That was a beautiful shot.
Yeah,
it really
didn't
was.
Have the same effect at home that it did in the theater, but when he gets shot, everyone screamed because it scared the shit out of everybody.
I screamed. I was laying in bed.
I actually thought the husband was actually going to do something, because there was that moment that the husband kind of goes,
yeah,
oh fuck,
yeah,
she was right. Mm-hmm. And he might, like, you know what I mean, that was one of those scenes, like, literally the last, you know, like, what, 20 minutes of this movie was like, you're like, holy shit. Like,
it
all
wasn't
around.
Even the last 20 minutes, and that's my issue. It was literally the last 5-10 minutes of the film,
yeah,
is where everything comes to a head. And oh yeah, it was so great. And that's what the build up to the ending was satisfying. And so I really feel that if you can just appreciate the film for everything that it is and gets the end, it's well worth it. It is incredibly well worth it. And so hopefully all of you have watched this listening before you heard our spoilers.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I actually like super loved about it is I don't think we have any recent movies that kind of feel like it could be a Hitchcock, Polanski, like back in the day type movie.
Yeah.
Even the one that she's watching when she's at the theater, it says she's watching Charades. Never seen Charades, but the movie that she's actually watching in the theater is Wait Until Dark. And, you know, everybody, and it's warranted, they have an audience. I like explosions. I like gore and violence and sex, and I like in your face stuff. But there's something to be appreciated about a movie that kind of plays homage to those old 60s, 70s Hitchcock type movies where, you know, they didn't really have the budget to do all that. It's just driven by story and set design. And I feel like this is the closest thing we have to something truly like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to have kind of a payoff, like, you know what I mean? Because at the moment you're thinking to yourself, man, if this ending doesn't have a real good, this fucking sucked. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
yeah, if she would have just died, I would have been like bummed for a while, like, because that would be a fucked up movie.
I kind of thought that was the way it was going.
Yeah, and it's still, honestly, if she had just died on the floor and that's how it ended with them looking at each other, that would have been amazing. Like that.
Yeah,
that
and then having the husband
amazing.
Come back. Like in the, like, you mean, like having the husband looking around for his wife in the apartment, and then that scene where he's by himself like that. If you would have ended it like that, I would have been like, dude.
Well, because,
you know what I mean?
I feel like it's a better payoff that it's like, should have believed her, than she killed him.
Her face,
so, yeah.
Her face, I still, it's like, it's classic. She's like, bitch.
Yeah.
Well, and good for her. And that's my thing. That was a very good for her moment, especially considering everything that happened was completely merited. Like all of her reactions and everything were for naught, you know, weren't for naught. And he had to have done something to her, right? Like if he had just smacked her around a little bit and she ran out, okay, whatever. But like, as brutal as it was, and as just heinous as the crime is, and just creepy.
The bag scene was really cool too.
It's not enough that he tortures her by, you know, putting a bag over her head, telling her, you know, do you have enough air, whatever, because I poked a few holes, but if you panic, you'll die.
That's or don't scream enough. Like, just like don't all those scream. Things like.
And then she screams as soon as
he slits her throat, and then just drags her, and she watches her crawling for her life. But
do you
then
think
also,
it was the same bag, by the way? The same
I think
bag
it was
he
the
had
same
her,
bag.
The other head in it.
Well, it's from that grocery store, so I'm sure.
But, you know what I'm saying though? Like, how much fucked up is that? Like, your head's literally in the same head your friend's head was
in. Well, he had to have just followed her back to the apartment, right?
Yeah.
So he still had the same bag. So
he probably dumped the head off somewhere.
Dumped the head out of the. Terrible for Rita.
I don't know if y'all saw when she's, I think when she was crawling, but sometime at the end when she's in the apartment, she crawls by the bathroom. The bathtub's all full of blood with blood everywhere. So whatever he did in there.
Did you see the landlady open the door? Like there's a scene in the like, background. She's like, after he gets shot, she's like, oh, Jesus.
That's what she, right after she shoots him, she opens the door and she's like, and I don't think that was a landlady. I think that was a lady looking for her stupid cat.
Yeah, looking for her. What was the cat?
It was
name?
When the cat was in there, though.
Elvis.
Did she steal the cat? I wonder if she stole a cat from her.
Well, that's know. What. But I think he. I think when he went in, the cat probably followed him in. Because how would the cat have gotten to her apartment?
Yeah, but the cat was already gone before that. Remember? Because like she asked, and she didn't understand it. And then that's when she actually kind of knows the neighbor because she speaks English.
Yeah.
So
she's like, she's looking for a stupid cat.
Yeah. She doesn't know I stole the bitch.
Well, to round out the episode, I have some not so fun facts about stalking. Ready?
Oh.
One in three women and one in six men will face stalking in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Unsurprisingly, the majority of victims are women. Let me flip the page.
Sorry, ladies.
3 of 4 victims are stalked by someone they know. 45% of stalkers are acquaintances of who they stalk. 30% were intimate partners, and 75 to 80% of stalkers are male. The average age of a stalker is in their mid-30s. Average stalking time is 1.5 years to 2.2 years, but can also be a lifetime.
They could be lazy or not lazy.
State with the most stalkers, Kentucky. Now,
shocking.
To round it off with the worst statistic, 54% of female victims reporting stalking to the police before they were eventually killed by their stalkers.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So while you go ahead and say what you're going to say about this movie, Lance.
that's the awful truth, right? And I sent you both on the messenger the articles for her. And Lance, I know you remember when that happened, because that was like the biggest thing. The biggest story, especially downtown, especially because I was living downtown at the time as well. So here I am, Micah Monroe, in the big city.
Same.
In the big city of Orlando, yeah.
I'm Micah Martinez over in San Antonio, Texas. Nice.
But my thing is the sad, this is the sad and awful truth, is that women are just not believed, right? Mm-hmm. We're just, you know, and I hate to throw myself into that. But do you know how many times I've had to bitch about that guy in his car before somebody actually took me seriously? And I never thought in my wildest dreams that calling the police would do anything, because it's not. People get restraining orders. There was a woman, not at Siemens, but you know where Siemens is. Siemens is the, don't they, they're like, they make bombs or whatever, I forget. It's over by UCF, so it's this big company.
Yeah.
And it is, yes, it's pronounced Siemens, but it's not spelled like semen. And there's all those buildings over there by UCF. And I remember one of my, when I was working at the tanning salon in college, and these are true stories. She had put not my tanner, but a coworker of hers had put a restraining order on her husband or soon to be ex-husband. And what did he do? He went to the building and he fucking shot her in the chest. So a restraining order is just a fucking piece of paper.
Yep.
And then we had the whole story with Natalie Ganguza, and she was so shocking to me because I was going to UCF at the time, and she went to UCF, and she went jogging at 6 o'clock in the summer. And if you live in Florida, and I'm sure the same in Texas, the sun doesn't go down to like 8:30. So, you know, you, And she went jogging in Blanchard Park, and that's a really popular park over in East Orlando that has a lot of trails, and it's good for running and biking. People go fishing. There's gators. You'll love it. Well, actually, no, you won't. Because she was not only murdered, she was raped. He did all these things to her, killed her, and they dragged her. I'm sorry. They dragged her body out of the bushes behind my tanning salon. So we had all the cops and everything. And I was working at the tanning salon at the time when they were dragging her body out. And so you could, and I used to run in that park. So you can imagine just these horrible atrocities happening to women. And the thing is like, she was just running.
Yeah.
Like this woman did, and the woman being shot in the building, she was doing everything that she needed to do in order to be safe. She even got a restraining order. And literally no, like no, there's nothing our society can do to protect us or even care enough to protect us. Like there's all these other like laws on bullshit about bathrooms and about this, about that. But what about the fact that women are constantly being harassed and we just don't give a fuck, right? So, I mean, that's, yeah. That just, it speaks to our society as a whole. And I think it was effective placing the story outside of the country because I think people feel more for her. Like if she was in New York City, it would be like, just go run to, you know, the first little.
You have more connections to get help.
Yeah. I mean, you just run down the street, you know, it's the little shop or bodega and, you know, somebody.
Well, even the cop was kind of dismissive a little bit, or not a little bit, a decent amount where he was like, kind of like, you think, and he kept like driving in the, you think, oh, you don't know. Like, it was kind of like, he just wanted it only on those things. And it was like, you can see the husband kind of sitting there kind of going, God,
yeah,
you know.
But at the same time though, you have to be sure, right? Because they can't just convict somebody for if you're not sure, which I understand. So there's like a catch 22 here, like who do we believe? And in this case, almost always we never believe the woman. And just like Mikey's statistic, what, like 45% of them? And how many?
No, it was more, it was 54%.
Well, how ironic was it that he somehow got the same cop that came over the go to his place? Like, you know, and you see that cop like sitting like this, like there's this weird scolding moment where like they do the whole handshake thing, which I thought was like, I was like, really, this is what we're doing?
Oh yeah, that when the way he touched her hand, that was pretty gross. But
it was
the
power play, Lance.
And yeah, how big is Bucharest? Like Bucharest can't be that big if they had the same little cop in that area.
Well, usually cops are assigned by region, so like usually if you have a cop that patrols your neighborhood, it's the same one if it's a same time of day.
I'm supposed to say like add connection and stuff like that, because that's what they do in boroughs and stuff like that, where it's just like you're supposed to get to know the cops and they know you, so you don't accidentally get shot.
I would rather personally live in Budapest, but that's just me. But it's a beautiful city. I mean, it's gorgeous. Like I would love to live there. And how sad it is that, you know,
well, the scene of the stairs.
The architecture, like I was like, because I didn't, all I know about Romania is Dracula, y'all. And Dracula makes an appearance in the movie. And
he does, little tiny one.
Yeah, a little toy Dracula. And so, you know, Romania, it's home to the world, what's proclaimed as the world's most beautiful road. Like the churches, there's a really interesting cemetery there where there's like, it's a very interesting culture, because I don't know anything about Romania, guys. I'm just telling you what I see. It seems almost like a mixture of European and Middle Eastern countries, which I don't know if this is true or not. So I'll leave the source anonymous. But when I said that, someone said, well, yeah, it's because of the Persian invasion or war or something. And I was like, I don't know if that's true, but I also don't know history, so... You could be telling the truth. So.
Well, I think, yeah, European history itself is just so much. Like, I couldn't even tell you. I'm sure we could just look it up. But at the same time, that does make sense, because I was watching 90 Day Fiance before the 90 days last season, and they were in Romania, and the guy was gorgeous, by the way. I forget his name. But he did look, I think his family lived in Croatia, but they definitely looked Persian.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
They're very dark.
People.
They're beautiful people, but they're, I mean, you know, they're Persian. And they're not the Persian like how the Persians are depicted in 300, because I think that's like all people know about Persia. And like this is like absolutely.
Well, apparently
insane.
They're not referred to as Persians anymore. I think Persia is like a collection of Afghanistan and. I don't want to fuck it up and offend anybody.
I don't know.
But a couple of Middle Eastern countries.
We don't know. We know horror. We don't know things.
Yeah. So. We know horror and we know what looks pretty. Exactly. And that's why I give this movie 5 out of 5 stars. I know it's not for everybody. It seemed like a breeze for me. This is my second watch, and I sat down my happy little ass with a bucket of popcorn, and I watched the whole thing. Olivia was there, but I knew in my head, I was like, at 10 minutes before it ends, make her turn around. So she had her little tablet. Adam was like, can she watch this? And I was like, I think I remember she can watch all of it until the last 10 minutes. It went by, it was an hour and 36 minutes. So even though it is a slow burn, it's not one of these 2 hour long monstrosities. So
no,
I recommend
it. I don't think it's a slog. I agree. I would give it a 4 out of 5. And the other reason it's not a 5 out of 5, just because I feel there could have been a little more
sex.
I don't even know. There's going to have been like a little bit more with the guy and not make us. It's sort of like how it is with Rosemary's Baby. We know that Rosemary's not crazy, right? Yeah. I just don't like the fact that I was questioning her at some point too. So that's my only issue. And I know that's a stupid reason for me not to like it, because I think that's what actually makes the film very good. So whatever.
Forever. Your turn, Lance.
And Lance, say something, you know, like something substantial this time before you become
upset. I honestly, the payoff was the best. Honestly, it was like a slow burn and I was very hesitant. And I think because I do love seeing strong women in horror and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like it was hard for me to watch some of these scenes. I guess that's what it was hard for me, was like, I wouldn't want to have my daughter or my wife or my girlfriend or whomever, my partner, you know, feel like that was a weakness like that, where she felt like no one was there for her. So I guess that's why it annoyed me in that way. Cause I was like, dude, get up, fight, somebody do something. You know what I mean? Stop letting this happen to you. You know what I mean? That kind of vibe to it. So for all that purposes, I give it a 4, because it was 4 stars. Cause it was just like, the end really was like, all right, cool. And it was rad that she took the power away from him, cause he thought he won. Like I enjoyed that. Cause that was like probably the best thing, where it was like, he's thinking another one down on my notch, you know, everything like that. He even dismissively looked at that husband like, you ain't nothing you can do, buddy. You know, no matter what you do right now, I won. And then when she took that away from him, and then took away the fact that her husband didn't believe her, you know what I mean? Like, she just won in spades at the end. It was kind of great to watch. So it's like, you're like, fuck yeah. And then when it just ended, I still kind of wanted to know. I was like, I wanted her to I wanted her to do like that kind of like pretty woman moment, where she like walks in front of all those people like, yeah, bitch, I told you. Yeah, bitch, I told you. Like, how you laughing now?
Well, I think that it was so effective though, the ending, because at that point we think she's dead. So we're like, okay, well, her husband has to do something. And I really love the fact that she's not.
Yeah.
Not only does she shoot him in front of him, she shoots him multiple times, and she comes out and she's like, I fucking took care of it. You did nothing to help me, and I fucking took care of it.
Yeah, so, and that's what I loved about that. It was like,
and good for her. That's all.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree that she was a little bit on the weaker side in the beginning, but you know, kind of like your Julia Roberts moment. I think the movie did a lot to stay in reality, where I felt she used her frustrations of being made fun of to give her strength. Because as soon as she hears that joke, she's like, "Fuck it." And I feel like that was kind of like a little bit of her, I'm frustrated and I'm mad, so I'm going to use this as fuel to like do something. And so she didn't turn into Wonder Woman by any means, but she took care of it.
I mean, she took a fucking nasty cut to the throat. I mean, Jesus. If for some reason there's an actual willpower to get up after losing that much blood, she definitely showed it. That's for sure. Like,
but, yeah. I mean, and the thing is like, I don't know how much we can lose before whatever, but like that's probably around the same amount of blood when you get blood though at the thing. Cause if you were to dump it out, cause that happened to me. When the last time I gave blood, she pulled the needle out and it was spurting out like a water fountain. And the poor little nurse was screaming, and I'm like, well, you didn't put the cotton ball on. So
AIDS will come. He's like, don't worry about it. I have a lot of time.
I'm waiting for my orange juice and my $20 gift card. Like, come on now.
But, where's my cookie?
If you dumped all that blood out, I'm and she's a very small woman, so I think it would have been around the same. Yeah, same. And I think it would have been the same effect, right? So I don't think it was as much blood as we think it is. So I think that's what makes it more realistic. But at the same time, like, fuck yeah. Like, what a great fucking, because I thought she was dead. I honestly just thought, I'm like, they just fucking killed her and I wasted my whole fucking time in this fucking movie. And I was happy that she woke up. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So that's that. Sorry, Mikey. I know we're dragging this on.
Anyway. Oh, no, you're good. But yeah, so if I'm on this podcast, that means that this podcast is a Micah Monroe fan club. So everybody keep your panties on until Long Legs comes out, because that looks amazing. But with that, we do have to let you go, but we'll be coming back with number three. Lance will be guiding you through this adventure next time, so good luck. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can find me at Horror and a Half Shell, or Aid at Pathologically ADE, or Lance at Zombie Versus Hate. If you want to buy a t-shirt or any other fun stuff for Valentine's Day, you can find us at Redbubble at slasherspod.redbubble.com. Patreon, if you want some Patreon bonuses and exclusives, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/slasherspod. We're also on Instagram at slasherspod and Facebook at Mutant Goons from Beyond. With that, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next week for what I don't know, but either way, we'll see you. Goodbye. And don't die.
Die.